Maybe you're here this morning going, this is what I expected to be. Maybe it's a miracle for you to be here this morning. And we're on this series about miracles. We've been talking about miracles and all that God does. And that God does the impossible. So I give a little verse here. Can you go out right now? Some blanks to fill out. You might want to fill them out. Be a part of it here. It says this. Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. What's impossible with man? Now, for me this morning, it was impossible for me. All right? You know, you don't really have how important a wife is because they're not there. All right? You know, see, just so you know, I've always lived for 34 years. I lived in Salida. And when it was time for me to leave for church, I walked to church. And I would leave my wife with the kids. And then she would come later with the kids. I never worried about getting the kids ready. I never worried about, it's like, okay, I'm going to church. I walk out the door. Later on, here comes my wife and my kids, and everything's taken care of. I did a really good job. I got myself ready, got myself here. Got my, because my wife had my clothes hanging out. She did too. Before I left there, she didn't have clothes hanging out on her back, so I didn't have to wear this morning. And, and it just goes through. And we all, God does the impossible. We look at ourselves, and maybe you feel like, I just can't do with this anymore. I can't do with this anymore. What am I supposed to do with this? How do I get through this? And we wrestle with these kind of things in our life. And we need miracles. And what I like about this series, I don't know about you, is that you've been through this series, it's everything. Remember some of the miracles God did in our life. Anybody? As we talk about the different kind of miracles, it's kind of reminded us, God did do this. And God was here when this happened. And God provided this when this was needed. And it made me kind of think back and to remember what God has done and some of the miracles God's done in my life. And I even gave the definition of miracle. If you get your outline there, it goes like this. A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on earth. That God steps into the middle of our lives. That God steps in and into our lives. And so through this series, we kind of looked at different kind of miracles. We had kind of four different kinds of miracles. One of them was that God delivers us, that there's a dark world out there, there's darkness out there, there's trials and tribulations that hurt and wound us, that there is a demon world out there. And we said that with Jesus' name, we can defeat the demons, right? You remember that? You can defeat the demons in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus in your life. And we talked about that earlier that God does. And then we talked about how God does healing. That we believe that God does healing, that there are miracles of healing. And some of you may have had, we had Ron share his testimony of how God touched him in the midst of cancer, and how God just made it all disappear in his life. But God doesn't always heal everybody all the time. But he does do miracles. But no matter what he does, we believe in him because of who he is. And last week, we kind of talked about how God protects us and that sometimes in our lives we're in situations, and I love the point that I had last week, and it was like this, that long before I had my problem, God had a plan. Think about that. Long before, we talked about the Red Sea, in Israel, sitting on the edge of the Red Sea. We talked about Jonah being cast into the ocean, that God had a giant fish already ready to receive him. God had a plan, even before the troubles come. We talked about that. And this morning, what I want us to think about is God provides. That God has provisions for us. That God steps into the midst of our life with miracles. And we see in the Word, we read the Scriptures, you can read it, Jesus fed the 5,000, every community of Jesus gave the 5,000. He's on the side of the mountain, he's teaching that afternoon, and it gets late in the afternoon, and the people are hungry, everybody's wanting something to eat, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you got to send them out, they got to go eat. They're going to pass hunger, send them away so they can go eat. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. And they go, we ain't got the budget for that. There's not enough money for that. And so what do you have? Well, we got a couple of fish and some bread here. What do you want to do? He said, we'll bring it. So they bring it. Jesus blesses it. And with two fish and a couple of pieces of bread, Jesus feeds 5,000. Can you believe that story? He fed 5,000 people. And how many baskets did they have left over? Anybody? 12. How many disciples were there? They all had a take-home bag. All right? The disciples each had a take-home bag. God does, he multiplied what they had. And there's a story in the Old Testament. There's a guy named Elijah, one of God's prophets. Now, there's two, Elijah and Elijah, two different dudes. And Elijah came to some lady's house, and she didn't have much, and he wanted to eat, and she didn't have anything. She had just one little, old mother hubby cupboard was empty. And we can read it in the scripture, but I want to get something else. It's not just an Old Testament thing. Not just a New Testament thing. It's a thing that God does at all. Are you going to testify your time? Testimony? Miraculous. Linda Maselli is going to come and share about the time of her life and the ministry that she has. Linda, are you here? I didn't lose you while you were there. Thank you.
Which number? What number? Maybe it should be up.
Still dealing with the consequences of that. But God continued to give them his promise. booming, and our business did very well at this time. And we were receiving checks for a company that I had never seen checks paid before. And I wanted to be a good steward, but that knew this time would not last. So I took the check into the office, and I would sit at my desk and pray over this check and say, Lord, I want to be a good steward of this money. I want to do what you want. lots of fun, we didn't like it, but we were able to do it.
And you know, you're down, you're out, you're fed up, you're tired. You want to put the towel in, and somebody comes up and says, you know, we can do this, we're going to do this. And then sometimes it is financial. And sometimes there are those burdens. But God will always take care of our needs. So three quick things here. I read it this way. When God guides, He always provides. You haven't heard that this year. When God is guiding you, He will always provide. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God always blesses, and He wants to guide you in the right direction. When you're walking in God, He will provide for your needs. Look what the scripture says, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will always lead you. He will satisfy your needs in dry land to give strength to your bones. I like what He's saying here. When things look like it's, when you're done, when you're toast, when the bank account says zero and the bills are still coming in, that's what it says, isn't it? When the land is dry, the bank account is dry. You got a dry bank account? When the bank account's dry, when your bones are weak, when you're just wore out, I'm tired, I can't work anymore, I can't handle this anymore, I'm done, I'm finished, God says He satisfies your needs. You will be like a garden that has much water, like a spring that never moves. See, I like the picture you made for those words there for us. It's like, yeah, we're going to get to those points in life where it seems hopeless, where it seems we have nowhere to turn, there's nothing we can do, and life is just, and God is there. God provides for us. He cares for us. Now, as you know, you might want to circle the word needs. But I don't know about you. Needs and wants are two different things. I have needs. And I hear that dream. You want dreams here? I hope not. I got dreams, all right? I got ambitions. You know, I got ambitions. You know, there's things you want to accomplish in life and things you want to do. God doesn't promise dreams and ambitions. He promises me that when we walk with Him, He'll take care of those needs. He'll provide for those needs that we have. When we're in sync with God, He's there. It was so fun. I was sitting here listening to Linda Snow's testimony. She had something in there that I want to make a point of. You know, sometimes God provides and He's sitting on something else. It's like God gave us something. I always had this rule, and it's something Mark and I would always laugh about. We were scraping and scrounging to get through life. We're pushing it. And I get an extra $200. You know, and we'd look at Lauren and I would look at Lauren and say, okay, we have to come here for a while. What's going to go? Anybody? You know, it's like, okay, we gotta wait, you know, we gotta wait and see what's gonna happen. We got this $200, and sure enough, the washing machine went out. That's when Sears silk cheap washing. You can't buy a washing machine. But you know what I'm saying? God provides for our needs. And He provides for what we need and how we can use it and how we can be blessed with it. It's our needs. It's not, well, you know, I want a nice house, 10 acres. Anybody? Split level house, 10 acres. You know, I want to drive a Mercedes. Come on, now. Why don't we want? He's crazy. And we have dreams and wants. I wrestle with this. I buy a camera. I wasn't going to share this. I'm going to share it anyway. I want a camera. My camera broke. And I want a camera. Now, what kind of camera do I do? There's this new, I think it's a Canon 7 something or something like that. It's only like $5,000. I need a shirt. Do I need one Bahamas shirt? Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I get myself in trouble. What is a purse cost? $300. Ouch, ladies. I'm sorry. I tell you, the best place to do, though, we're coming down the grapevine. Just so lucky I am. Come down the Grapevine, there's a little outlet place here. They got a coach or something. They got a store there. I bought more, a brand new purse, $300 purse. I can't do it. Outlet store. I'm so blessed. God has provided. I got a house. No, I got my house. There was someone in the church that said the house was fine. Say $10,000. You know how I pay for my house? Your tithes and offerings. You pay for my house. Thank you. I'm so blessed. We need to see that in our life, that when we walk with God, He's going to provide. This made me think about that. As I said, I think about the camera. It's like, yes, I mean, you ever wrestle with, is it deep or what? Is this a deep or what? You know, is this camera I want? Is it a deep or what? I want to put my daughter or taking pictures of the Olympic National Forest. I want to know. Got one picked out, okay, about $1,600. Haven't bought that one yet. Or my little $300 point shoot thing. Need or want? I don't know yet. God might have gone around about this one, okay? I don't know about you, but that's me. Anybody like that beside me and you rest? God provides for my needs. I have all that I need. I look at my life and I'm so blessed. That's why I want that. Get out of jail card. You make stupid decisions, guess what? You're in trouble. Walking you through it, He'll be there with you, but you're the one in trouble. God doesn't just say, well, I'll just take care of it. You're gone. We do something dumb. It's like St. Christopher and Martin. So that's my first point. How about point number two? A miraculous God miraculously multiplies what is given. Whatever you get, God multiplies it. What do you do with that oil at that woman's house with Elijah? As long as she had containers, it just kept those containers up. What did he do when he fed 5,000 people? Now, 5,000 men, that's probably 10,000 people there. A couple of pieces of fish and a couple of pieces of bread, and fed 10,000 people. He multiplies. Whatever you give God, He multiplies. Whatever you lay for God, He multiplies. He makes it more than what it is. He doubles it. He triples it. But I want to make sure you understand something. I want to make sure I make this clear. I know the prosperity gospel. Now, just so you might know what the prosperity gospel is. Everybody's going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I wish that was true. Because all those three, I don't have any of them. All right? I'm not healthy, I'm not wealthy, and I'm not wise. All right? I've checked out of all of them. All right? God never promised everybody just health, wealth, and wisdom. He never promised that to everybody. But there's a gospel out there that many preach. When you walk with God, you're going to never have an issue, you're never going to have trouble, and life's going to go. I don't know where that comes from. That's not good. That's not good. Let me tell you something else. I had this, and I read this, and some guy sued the church. The preacher preached, you give to God, you put $10, you put $100 in the offering plate, and God will return it and bless you tenfold over. The guy put $100 in, and then after 6 months, they received the church. He didn't want to get that one gone. God don't work that way. All right? I'm going to say, I might give God some money, but you know, sometimes they work in the church, and I don't give money. Anybody think of that one? It's not about money sometimes. Sometimes it's about a word of encouragement. It's about a word of lifting you up. It's about a word of somebody walking with you. It's about more than just money in our lives. But whatever you give God, He multiplies. I'm sitting and looking at all these gifts right here. And this is going to grow to 300. Hint, all right? We're trying to do Samaritan gifts, Samaritan gifts. We're trying to get 300 boxes. How many are thrilled to see the video that we showed the kids to get their gifts? Doesn't that just thrill your heart? Now, is that a blessing? That we can be a blessing to somebody else? See, when we give God multiplies, look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians. The generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer bread for our meal is even more extravagant for you. First he has every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Now that sounds kind of confusing, but think that's what he's saying here. God gives you seeds, and he gives you more. You sow those seeds, and not only do they grow those seeds, but it produces an abundant crop, more than you planted. That's what it's saying. God blesses you with the seeds. But I want to make sure you understand something. Jesus multiplied the food. When it's still the kids' lunch bag, or after they drop it. When did Elijah and all that oil multiply? When it was sent in the kitchen, so it was sent in the, all these daughters are there. No. It's just every form. God multiplies what we give. You understand? It's when we share, when we step out in faith. You know, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's hard to step out in faith. You may be worried about it. I don't know. Yeah, does have greater faith than I do. I'm the preacher. I really feel bad. You know, sometimes it's like, God, I can't do it, God. What do you want from me? Do you think, God, what do you want from me? Sometimes it becomes faith when you do it. And then God finish it. Is he going to make that one place up for you? The God is just holding there for us to let you know. You've got to keep multiplying. You've got to sow those seeds. You've got to plant those seeds. You don't plant it, nothing's going to come. You'll see that in our life. How about a third one? You might be a part of God's miraculous victory. You know something? You might be an angel. Can you see yourself being an empty somebody's place? That God is using you to touch somebody else, using you to minister to somebody else, that they've been praying and they've been doing something. You know, like that story I told with that lady praying. And I thought he was going to teach her a lesson about the consistency of God. She recognized that God is using you. He was a blessing. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you make your gift to those who need them, they will thank God. Now, I like that verse, but that verse may be thank you for me. I don't know about you, but I think it's passing the back. You know, I think it's passing the back. Thank you for working on your trouble. I like that. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be generous, and you're going to take your gift, you're going to give it to somebody, and they're going to thank God. I want to be thanked. Anybody else? You know? I want a good job, Gary. You know, I want to be thanked, but I do. I want to be acknowledged. You know? And he said, no, when you give, it's not about you, it's about who? Father God. See, God's going to do the miracles. Here's one of the conversations I always have. You know, how much do I give back to God? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little hint. You know, I'm going to talk about tithing just real quick, just kind of get that side a little bit. We have Chase Bradley here. I'm going to give you a little hint on how to tithe, okay? How do you give to God? I'll make it real simple. Give it all to God, 100%. All right? And then he'll give you back 90%. That sound okay? You give God 100%, he'll give you 90% back. I'll tell you, 90% back to God is better than 100% by yourself. But see, I've always felt it. I put about my washing machine, I've always felt this way. You know, if I didn't tithe, God was going to give it some other way. I always felt that way. You know, that if I don't tithe, my car's going to break down. Am I crazy? If I don't give to God, if I'm not faithful to God, it's not. If I want to challenge us, we need to sow. We need to be a blessing to others. We need to let God use us in great and mighty ways to see. And I'm not going to just talk about money. I'm talking about words of encouragement. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? When's the last time you patted somebody's back? You know what? I really appreciate it. give, and it will be given to you. A good head fresh shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I like that. You want a big bucket full, you got to give it to God. What I like about God, and this is my thing, I read God's word, here's a marvelous thing to think about. God never feels anything like that. He always holds it. I challenge you, read the word of God, set it down. Anoint your head in what? Your cup. Everything is always up. Isn't that what he says? Just take the press down, shake it together, and running over. I used to pick pears during the summer. I got my grandmother and my mother to pick pears. My grandmother picked pears to fill the bag up, put that to the bin, and you pour your pears in the bag. My grandfather, Seth's grandfather, was still a man. He worked in the field with us a lot. So I'm a 14, that 70-year-old man is out picking a 14-year-old kid, okay, just so you know. And he's out picking. Did you know that he always had a way to fill that bin out? He filled with one side. He just filled with one side of the bin. He filled with all four sides to pick the bin. He just don't shake it, don't move it around. You get paid by the bin. $10.50, $10.50, okay, 4x4x4. You go from one side to the other, so they take up more space. And God said, I'm going to shake it for you. You may have to go something above the sand and you start shaking above it, look out. Sand kind of self. That's what God's saying. God wants to bless us so much, he's going to pour it in, he's going to shake it up, and pour more in, and shake it up, press it down. How many wants blessings like that? Try to get some hands on blessings. There you go. But how does he say that? When you what? When you give. And again, I want to make sure I'm not just talking about money. Yeah, we got to be this group that's talking. I have a principle here for me. My principle is this: 10, 10, 8. I give 10 to God, I give 10 to my bank account, and I live on 80%. That's the principle I try to live by for me. I want to have an emergency fund, then they talk about it. I want an emergency. Sometimes you have to go into that emergency fund, rebuild that emergency fund. It's no fun rebuilding an emergency fund. Can I stay with me on that? But God wants to come to man and shake his finger and build his hand. That's what encouragement is. God wants to provide our needs. Our needs. Not our wants. Not our dreams. Not our ambitions. Lord, I just thank you that you are a generous God, that you meet our needs. Lord, sometimes I know I'm confused between my needs and my wants. Sometimes I don't understand. But Lord, let me see your hand in this. Let me walk and sing to you, and I'll understand. Yes, I'm praying. I'm going to pray for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe things are tight right now for you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening. Maybe things are tight for you right now. I want to pray for you, God. Use that prayer to pray for you. Thank 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 you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who are walking with you. Miss that walk where there are needs, financial needs, financial burdens, where there are decisions and questions. And so I lift them up to you, Lord, that you will open them with your heavens and drop your blessings upon them. And they'll step into that need, Lord, and see the hand of God. And acknowledge you that it's set in the truth of the beginning of the human form. So lay your hand upon you, wherever it may be, wherever it is. Whether it's medical need, there's an organ in financial need, vehicle need, there's emotional need. Lord, I ask you to lay your hand on these needs to lift them up. And you will bless them. And you will meet that need in the body of the Lord. Please talk to our service.